Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. I know you have to share about your amazing weekend experience.
It was so good.
Okay,
so what happened is I decided to surprise my parents in Washington, D.C. because it was my dad's 70th birthday. So I took my older son. And first of all, this is so funny. We're in LAX and they're doing like the whole B-roll of like, you know, traffic and during the holidays. And so they approach us. The anchor person comes over and is like, hey, do you want to be on the news? And I thought for sure my older son, who's a little shy, would be like, no. And he was like, yeah.
So
I'll have to show you the clip. It's so funny. The guy says, like, what are you looking forward to? And he's like, I'm looking forward to eating. But there's not a lot of options because I'm a vegan. We were dying. We were like dying. So he made it to the news. And
That's so funny.
So then I had my friend meet me at my parents' place, and she videoed me surprising my parents.
You sent it to me. I couldn't believe it. It's so sweet.
They were shocked.
Yeah.
My mom almost fainted. I probably should have prepared for that. But like, yeah, it was just an amazing, really fun time. My brother came in with his girlfriend and it was awesome. It was great.
What a quick turnaround.
Oh my God, Wednesday to Friday.
Friday.
Wednesday to Friday.
All right, so two questions. How did Remy do coming back so fast with jet lag and all that?
Yeah.
Was he just a bear for the rest of the weekend?
No, he was okay. It was sort of surprising. We both were okay.
He's really crossed bridge, I think.
Thank God.
We got one more to go.
Yeah, exactly.
How did London do without you, and how did David do without you?
David was okay. He missed me a lot. London was mad, like, and I felt really bad because I thought for sure, like, oh, he'll be fine because he's going to this big buffet. He loves food. He'll be in heaven. And it, like, he really wanted to go, so I felt awful. So it was so funny. Remy's like, Mom, you learned your lesson. You can't split us up. From now on, you have to go together. I'm like, yep. He's a trip.
So cute.
So,
won't you get to take maybe London on his own little special, maybe one day thing just with you, like an overnight to Santa Barbara or something
Yes, I was thinking that would be nice because he's still talking about it. I'm like, okay, I know. So, yeah.
I remember that's one of the sweetest things I ever did with Tiffany. She was 5 years old, and I decided to take her, just the two of us, to Santa Barbara, and we got this cute little motel room, and she was just in seventh heaven. She brought all of her little Beanie Babies. She covered the entire place with her Beanie Babies, the little hotel, and we walked everywhere. So, of course, she got very tired, so Mama carried her for most of the time. But it's just like one of my favorite sweet memories.
Does she remember it?
I was just going to
say, that's so sweet.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad that you got to do that, and your dad will be talking about that
forever.
The rest of his life. That is such a beautiful thing you did.
What about you?
We went to Idlewild my first time
there.
It was such a charming place. So charming. I mean, it's so pretty. It's nestled in the trees. But here was the rub. I assumed going up there would be very few oak trees because I discovered I'm allergic to oak. I live in Thousand Oaks, which is awesome, right?
No.
So I thought, reprieve from the allergies. I get up there and I am friggin' miserable. I'm allergic to dust mites and oak. Of course, they don't have the covers on their mattress there. So in the room, out of the room, in the cabin, I was just like a slobbering, bloody-nosed mess. Still had a fabulous time, but my eyes were like closed shut. And I don't like to take any medicines, you know, like, so I didn't take allergy medicine or anything like that.
Anyway,
we did a lot of hiking. My back held up, but then when I got back, I sprained my ankle, of course.
Oh my God.
It's mild sprain. During a hike, one where we're off the mountain.
Right,
I take
of
a little step off a little concrete thing and like, and that's my good ankle. But anyway, it was awesome. It was wonderful to get away. We made some new friends there. The town's doctor, who moved from his practice in Riverside, moved up to Idlewild. There's only 3,000 people there. We met him at this winery museum.
That's so cool.
There was a Neil Diamond sing-along look-alike.
Oh, my God.
3 hours of singing and dancing. It was such a blast. And they invited us to their leftover party the next day at their house, this beautiful cabin that he built.
Oh, my God, that's so cool.
And he offered he's got a spare cabin on his lot that we can come stay in anytime we want. So all in all, it was a very good trip.
That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, good for you for being such a, you know, champ about this whole allergy and ankle and...
It's life, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Okay. It's just that these are the worst problems somebody could have, right?
It's true.
I'm happy, you know, I don't have a diagnosis of cancer, so I'm good.
Right.
But you're going to love this. I had my first cupping.
Oh, my God. What did you think? I love that.
Well, so I went to... Christopher had used this acupuncturist, and because now I... Not my center lower back, but my hips were, like, killing me.
Oh.
I was sitting in sessions yesterday, and I literally was, like... Ooh, just trying to pay attention. So I made this appointment, and a man of very few words, write down my stuff, shakes my hand, takes me in the room, take off your pants, lie straight down.
Oh my God.
Here's a towel, and he puts needles all over. And then at the end, I didn't know I was getting cupping.
Oh.
You know, he comes in, he goes, okay, because he's on the phone with my insurance company. Well, he does this. He goes, hold on, painful, as he's, I guess they're shoving in more needles more intensely, and then they put the cup on it.
Oh, I haven't done that.
Little spots all over, like little bloody pinprick spots.
Oh my God.
And then this big round red thing.
Oh, interesting.
So I said, well, what about this spot? He goes, next time. And I left and I said, am I going to feel better? And he said, yes. And last night, sleeping was horrible. Three hours in the middle of the night, I thought that my hips were, I wanted to snap them off.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was. And then I woke up this morning and I'm like, good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The cupping that I've had, he had taken out the needles at that point.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
Well, he put more and he goes, painful.
Oh my God.
Like, oh, okay.
So I wonder if it was like, more intense. Good for you.
Yeah, so it's like a big red pin tattoo on my butt.
But it feels good, right? Like I love doing cupping.
Well, I'm going back. I'm going to get some more on Wednesday.
Oh, you are. So
and
good.
My insurance is covering it, which
That's
amazing.
Great.
Yes. So all in all, it's great. Good holiday. Looking forward now to easing into the rest of the holidays.
Uh-huh.
We've got Hanukkah. It's what, December 13th?
12th.
12th. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we have, of course, the big one.
I know.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. My kids won't let me forget it.
No.
You know we have like a Hanukkah bush, Christmas tree-ish kind of thing. Yes.
Did you get it already?
Yes, it's up. My kids love it. It's hilarious. And then I have Moose, you know, my dog, with a yarmulke. And like a little ornament that is it's like a whippet. So imagine like a spindly dog with like long legs and then like a yarmulke and a menorah. And that's like one of our ornaments.
Oh, I love it.
Because we're all Jewish. They're just hilarious.
Yeah.
So
and I have my menorah up on the mantle and we're going to get the small tree because we're not going to be here for Christmas this year.
Oh, you're not?
No, we're going to Santa Fe.
Oh, that's
right. I'm bailing on you, remember?
Oh, yes. Okay. But that'll be nice.
Yeah.
So cool.
And that's for 8 days, so that's really awesome. That's when Tiffany and Michael will drive down from
Nevada
City, stay with us for half a week, and then they're going to drive to Santa Fe to meet us there, spend that part of the holiday with us. Then they're going to drive to Utah to see his brother, and then back up north.
So, that's so fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, very exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
I know, you too. I was thinking that when you walked in.
And so last week we had The Knowledge Illusion, Why We Never Think Alone by Stephen Sloman. That was so interesting to me. I've applied so many of the things that he talked about last week, just really remembering that, you know, every time I think I know something, I probably know very, very, very little about it.
Yes.
And I love the idea of community knowledge, that we gain our knowledge through the flexibility and receptivity of other people's input.
Well, and I loved how he used the plumber as sort of the example. It's like, you know, if your toilet is broken, you should ask the plumber about it. Like, don't just assume that you know, or like, you know, hone in on people's expertise. I thought it was so smart. I loved it. And I forgot to tell you, I'm going to be writing a book, which I'll tell you about later, because I don't know contractually what I'm allowed to say. But I was sitting next to a woman on the plane, and I was like picking her brain, and I was thinking about this book, how it's like, that's how we, you know, do well with ideas. Like we, you know, pick apart each other's brains and use their expertise. So, yeah, really cool.
Absolutely. So, okay, and today we have a very, very, very special guest. We actually have her in studio with us, which is always wonderful. Melody Anderson, who's an LCSW and a trauma expert. Melody is a licensed clinical social worker with over 20 years in private practice in Westwood and Manhattan. Ms. Anderson received training at the Ackerman Family Institute in New York and is certified in the trauma treatments of EMDR, somatic methods, and neuroaffective touch. She specializes in treating individuals, couples, and families coping with their or a loved one's addiction, trauma, and relational conflicts. She was the coordinator of the Intensive Outpatient Program and Family and Friends Program at Hazelden, New York. Ms. Anderson is a media spokeswoman on local, national, and international media and has presented at world conferences on families and addiction. She has also lectured to UCLA and Cornell medical residents about the effects of addiction on the family. She's been published in Keys to Recovery about addiction. Currently, she's writing a book for parents whose children abuse substances. So exciting. Welcome, Melody.
Oh, it's my pleasure, you guys. I'm so happy to meet Kelly. Deborah, I knew, fortunately, met at a luncheon. At a luncheon for a treatment center. And fell in love with you, which I think everybody does. And now I'm falling in love with Kelly. So I need a love therapist.
And by the way, I didn't mention this before the show, but did the two of you realize that you work at the same place on different days?
What? The villa? Oh, would I be allowed to announce this?
No kidding.
Yes. Yes,
that's what I was telling you. She got she was doing groups,
on Friday.
On Friday.
The one in Sherman Oaks.
In Sherman Oaks.
And you're doing consulting also groups.
So funny.
I'm talking to them right now about doing some of the actual trauma.
That would be wonderful.
That we're going to talk about today.
That's fabulous.
That's
so cool.
That's why it was a small world. We were at that luncheon when they said that they were interviewing you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know Kelly.
Yes.
She's the greatest best on the planet.
That's
so you have to accept her and you got the job.
It's all because of Deborah. No, seriously.
It's all because of your merit, but it does help to have that kind of input. Little halo effect, right?
Right.
Yes, but Melody, thank you for joining us. And we are really excited because we had a special treat. Melody came in early for the show today, and she actually gave us a hands-on experience of what it's like to go through how you self-regulate when you're having trauma. So please do tell, first of all, your background, how you got into this kind of work, because you were not always. You were a celebrity.
No, I played in Hollywood, and I will tell you, male actors are a whole other category, but I never had any problems ever in this town with someone being sexually inappropriate.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, it's I don't know why that was. I don't think I smell, but...
It might be the opposite. It might be that, did you have some
I've
level...
Lost strength.
Yeah, I was going to say, the predators don't generally go after people they know who would out them.
I didn't want any of it bad enough to compromise. You know, people have mentioned coming to do a certain type of movie. I went, that's not why I went to college to do. No, no. So I also protected myself, too, of things that I thought might be compromising. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't find myself in those situations. But yeah, I had a wonderful career. I did a film called Flash Gordon and lots of movies.
Oh my God, it's so cool.
For television, and about 22 years ago, I decided that I didn't want to wear go-go boots and short skirts anymore to interviews. So I fell back. I had an original degree in journalism. And then I took those marks and went on and got my master's at NYU, New York University, in social work. And then tons of training, including trauma training.
Mm. Fantastic.
It brings me here today, And so just every woman and man out there, remember, there's always a second, third, fourth, fifth, 17th act.
You're
feeling uncomfortable, it's your instincts telling you I want to change, and if you are ready to make a change and you don't even have to know what it is, it will come to you.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Nice piece of advice. Yeah. So when you came to studio today, you were telling us all about this model that you have learned about how to deal with trauma. So I want to know more of your background and all the different methods that you're trained in and which ones you like the best, how they work, and all of those good things.
Well, you know, in the old days when people were coming with trauma, we thought talk therapy would help. And it did to a point because the person felt some support and validation, and there was also a connection with another person who was there to care for them. Unfortunately, that's like an hour a week, maybe two if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So then we realized there wasn't enough change with the trauma. There might be psychological issues, but same with depression. Talk is very powerful, but sometimes people need medication.
Yeah.
You need to augment things. So then there was a brilliant man, is a brilliant man, he's still alive, called Dr. Peter Levine, who started somatic therapy, and he understood that when we're traumatized or highly anxious, that we feel it in our body. Why? Because when we're in a sense of danger, our fight, flight, or freeze, and sometimes appease hormones come out, and that causes our body to race, get us moving to get out of there, or almost play dead like an animal in the jungle. Well, sometimes we'll over and play dead because it can't outrun the tiger. So we have these primal instincts, which are really wonderful when you see a saber-toothed tiger eat your friend, and you know the next time you see the saber-toothed tiger, you're going to run or play dead.
Sure.
The problem is our saber-toothed tigers today are a lot in our heads.
Yep.
A lot of them are connected to the meanings that we give life experience. You know, I could turn my back to you because I want to sneeze. You might feel like I'm abandoning you and ignore you.
Mm-hmm.
And sets up all sorts of maybe early life traumas of people not being there to meet your needs as you're growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the meaning that we put to these things. And we kept thinking that if we just talked about it, or did some artwork or something, it would change. And it did, but not significantly and not over a long enough period of time. So mm-hmm. then we went to the neurobiology of trauma. And we started to realize on the between the right ear and the right eye, there's an area in your brain that holds your memories. And that little thing is connected to our glands that put out our hormones. So when it's stimulated, whether or not there's a saber-toothed tiger or you just feel there's one, you're going to get the same physical response.
Mm-hmm.
And that can lead to panic attacks. Mm-hmm. You start breathing shallowly, you have too much CO2 in your body, you start mm-hmm. getting dizzy, out of your body, frantic, and it can take a long time for that those mm-hmm. hormones to balance themselves. And with people who've had a series of trauma,
mm-hmm.
it can get stuck in the high zone. So mm-hmm. they're always on that massive alert state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they have nothing to sort of calm themselves down. Because what we found in our brain studies, the MRIs, is that when the emotional part of the brain is stimulated, the actual thinking part of the brain, which is sort of connected to the left front side, black on the screen, so we can't solve our problem.
Right.
So this opened.
Same thing when men get an erection, right?
Absolutely.
That's hilarious.
So never listen to when they say they love you.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's what happens after.
Afterward.
They got.
Yeah.
And so that's a whole. And I just got to choke up.
I know.
I couldn't pass on the timing. It was perfect.
It was perfect.
That was really funny.
I'll be a straight man. And so it opened up a whole new exciting world that maybe there's something neurologically going on and physically going on that we can start there first with dealing mm-hmm. with trauma. So what they started to realize, and they called it somatic therapy, instead of going from the top down, looking with your head to solve the problem, and calm your body, we realize mm-hmm. why don't we calm the body first,
mm-hmm.
then get the brain functioning so we can move people through their trauma.
Mm.
So we take it from being an open wound to just a scar.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's still a reminder, but it's not as tender anymore. And that's the goal of trauma therapy. It's not to erase the memory, it's to say, yeah, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I saw something awful when I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really sad, and I still have feelings about it, but it doesn't immobilize me,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't make me want to hurt myself or others.
Right. That's the thing that a lot of people don't understand in trauma work. You're not going to lose your memories. It's
right.
not like a frontal lobotomy where
yeah.
it's gone. You're going to have the memory. You're just going to have a different relationship to the memory. So that once it was scary and mm-hmm. very, very uncomfortable and something you'd want to run from, hide from,
sure.
avoid anything that stimulates that memory to, like, it's just like watching it pass on a train.
Right. You know, back in the old days when I was young, we had a thing called tapes. And we called it Memorex, and we would always say, is it live or is it Memorex? You know, is it a recording memory? Or is it actually, is there a saber-toothed tiger looking at you in this
yeah.
room right now? And there's not. Usually it's the meaning we're giving of we're being judged or criticized mm-hmm. or unloved or ignored. Mm-hmm. And all those actions can happen in early life, and it may not even be meant to have abused by parents, but it's something that happened that the child interpreted.
Right.
Because they're so self-centered about being abandoned by parents because, you know, stuff in the
of course
days.
Right.
So we work now from the bottom up, and certainly part of the story is very important, but we don't even have to go into the horrors of the traumatic mm-hmm. story anymore, which
right.
is marvelous, because you don't have to have people feel they've got to, you know, lose their guts in your office
mm-hmm.
just to heal.
And so that's actually the criticism of EMDR, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Kelly, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, for our listeners, can we just back up for 1 second? Because I think trauma is sort of bounced around in the therapeutic community, but I don't know if a lot of lay people know what that even means. Or what,
sure.
can you give examples of... Because, I had a person in my office who, her mom would drag her by the hair in her room, and she didn't think anything was wrong with that, you know, and here she is having anxiety and panic attacks, and she kind of
couldn't. But
she doesn't
link it to that.
No. Mm. And so I'm just curious if you can kind of maybe detail a little bit, you know, what exactly is trauma, what are some examples and that kind of thing.
Definitely, and I think that's a great point, because let me just sort of go to something that we work with the somatic work. It's called the resiliency zone. And this comes from the Trauma Resource Institute, if anybody wants to check it out, and you can get the site at the end of the show. you have a resiliency zone where, you know, throughout the day you get stopped in traffic and then you see a cute baby and, you know, you go up and down throughout the day. For people who have had, especially in early life, what we call in the biz, attachment issues, where they never really felt secure. They maybe they didn't get fed their milk on time, or the mother had problems with the breast milk getting that to them, or it was an unhealthy home, or something was happening that the primitive mind was interpreting as dangerous. That is held in the body. And so when that experience occurs in present time, even though there's not a danger of death,
right,
that's really the deepest fear, is the fear of death, is an abandonment, not existing. What happens is that that moment in present time that gets triggered takes you emotionally back to what was terrifying when you were an infant or 4 or 7 years old. So some people have wider resiliency zones, so they can handle something that someone else with a more narrow resiliency zone cannot tolerate. And it's like, you know, many people say, well, I went through that and I'm okay. Well, A, I question that statement, and B, they just might be. It's like with the Vietnam vets. They were sitting there, and the ones who had the trauma issues were the ones who had had earlier life trauma. Okay, we're having a very nice dad in here just hooking me up. All of you who...
Was all that gone?
Okay, so we'll
see. Hi, I'm Melody Anderson. I'm talking about trauma.
Do we have to start over?
No. So... We're giving getting the thumbs up. We're talking about trauma today. I'm here with Kelly and Deborah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know what y'all lost.
Well, the good news is you're not too far from my mic, so
right,
probably...
Right,
yeah, yeah.
Well.
He said he got some of the sound, so yeah,
okay,
he'll adjust levels. Yeah.
Oopsie,
so,
folks.
This is the fun of our live listeners. Yeah. Most of our listeners download the show, so they have a little bit more of a finished product, but the live listeners, you guys are always
God
up
bless
for
you.
A treat. Right?
It's exactly. Always a surprise.
Always.
It's like watching a horse race.
Yes, exactly.
So we're talking about trauma, and some people can handle things that other people can't. And the Vietnam vets who came back with the most trauma were those who had early life trauma experience. And trauma can be abuse, and we now call it small T trauma, like, you know, somebody didn't come to see me or didn't invite me to the party when I was 4, or big life trauma, being in a war or real actual physical and mental abuse. Sure. And that's why it's very important not to judge people's traumas, because they, as they say, they're like fingerprints. Everybody has their own resiliency zone.
And also different experiences at different times in one's life could be more traumatic than at other times, right? I mean, if you have a lot of positive experiences and trust in yourself to be able to handle something, then a particular situation like a car accident or something, you might be able to handle better than when you're 7 and you see that your dad had drank too much before he got in the car and it's swerving and all that, then, you know, that may have a much more indelible imprint.
The problem, though, is if you had that experience and you were in a car accident, you're emotional, and that little thing that's called the amygdala that holds the memory bounces you back to when you were 7 years old. And the signs of that are when we feel our body tightening, when we get dizzy, when you feel short of breath, when you feel a weight on your chest like you might be having a heart attack, and dizziness. And those are all signs that we have too much CO2 in our body. So some of this trauma work is also regulating the breath. And again, what is trauma? Trauma is something that happened or is happening to you that puts you in a real life-threatening situation or an imagined life-threatening situation. Like someone who's mean to you at a party, you could imagine that you're being abandoned, especially as a young child, and that could be that you won't survive. It could
catastrophic
happen.
Thinking, right? That
catastrophic
you're, that
thinking.
That friend is going to tell bad things about you to other people. No one's going to like you. You're
and you're going to be kicked out of the tribe.
Kicked out of the school. And your parents are then going to be mad at you, and they're going to kick you out of the house, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, it's a whole chain of thoughts linked together. Absolutely, and none of them are good. None of them are saying, wait a minute, okay. Let me take a deep breath here. Let me hold my breath in so I get the oxygen, and then let me breathe it out of my mouth so I get all the CO2 out. So now I can think clearly. What's happening there? Same thing we do in these new trauma treatments is we're calming down the fight or freeze hormones that make us want to fight or flight or play dead.
Right.
So let me ask you, Kelly. You had the full experience.
Oh, well, it was fantastic.
A mini of an experience. Why don't you tell the listeners what you found and what you found helpful?
Sure.
And the shift.
So
that you
basically, I'll give a little description. So Dr. Anderson basically, or sorry,
I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot cheaper for you to say it than me to go to school.
It's a work in progress, right? So, Melody Anderson is the LCSW here, but you felt like a doctor to me because I was so involved in this. But yeah, so basically it was fabulous. It was sort of a reenactment, so to speak, of a safe place. So I've done hypnosis before, so it sort of reminded me of that in a lot of ways, of just, it was like I was aware I was in the room, but I definitely felt sort of pulled back to, you know, this memory that I had, a positive memory. So it was really nice. It was absolutely calming. It was, gosh, let's see. I definitely felt the sensations. You know, I at one point you had me sort of smell and
go through
taste.
Your five senses.
Yeah. And so it is kind of interesting how right now I don't feel it as strongly, but when I was in it, it was like I did. I smelled the grass or something like that.
And so you were 7 years old with this, this resource. And we call this the resource. And one of the great things, if you're dealing with any trauma or high anxiety, you know, this works. I worked with a 16-year-old girl in New York on Skype, just a highly anxious girl, and all these tools have helped her, and she has control over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's still anxious, but she doesn't zoom out of her zone.
It's very good. Yeah.
So tell them the experience of what was going on in your body, because, again, we're working body up to the brain, you know, bottom up versus top down is when we do talk therapy.
Yeah, and so much of that is about emotions and thoughts, and we don't really address people's sensations as much, but that's really the core, that's the basis of our existence, is our sensory experience.
Yeah. Yes. Before we have speech, our bodies respond to danger when we're infants.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's being encoded into our brains. Yeah. So
what were your sensations?
So the
sensory
sensation,
girl.
Yeah. So for me, I felt really grounded, number one. Like, I just felt very safe.
And in your body, can you describe? Because that's what I do, is I ask people to be real specific about the body areas.
Well, I noticed my breathing was slowed. I'm trying to think.
Warmth.
Like, how
you said
I did feel warm. Thank you. I forgot about that.
That's listening.
Yes. Oh, my God. But I forgot about that. That's really funny. I did. I felt warm, almost like cocooned. I guess that's the best description I can think of.
And in the tense areas of your body, what did you find as regards to the
process? Opened up. I felt like I didn't. It was like the opposite of like the tightness.
So
when
it's a softening.
Yes. Thank you. It's like I can describe like what it is, but I can't put the words to it.
Oh, that's curious. You have like an EMDR. They have a negative cognitions list examples. Mm-hmm. Do you have like an example? Because we always have these feeling charts for people. Are there sensory charts?
Yes, we do have them.
Oh, nice.
That's good.
So you can say, is it sharp? Is it soft? Is it warm? Is it squishy? Is it hard? So yes, they get that to look at least for the first few sessions. So they have a point of reference and don't have to think about it.
No, that's brilliant because we don't use those words that often.
We don't. Well, and it's funny because like
we're not in our body.
No, the main word I'm thinking is like relaxed. Then I'm like, well, what was I feeling?
Yeah. And it's perfect. That's great.
Yeah, but I can't put it into words until you said like softening. And
that's why we like to use the word sensation versus feeling, because feeling goes into the head. I'm sad. I'm feeling good. What does that mean in my body? Oh, my chest is softer. Mm-hmm. Oh, my belly just opened up like a flower. Oh, my headache's gone.
Mm-hmm. And I like the component, though, where you ask the recipient, is it pleasant or unpleasant?
Unpleasant or neutral.
Or neutral, not positive or negative. Because you know what? I can imagine that for some people, being relaxed or softening might be terrifying.
Absolutely.
That could yield a sense of vulnerability and cause a tremendous amount of discomfort.
Yes.
That it's the tenseness that makes them feel like, or believe that they're in a safe place.
Right. And Deborah, you bring up something very good, too, is, you know, what is being thought of versus what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be a thing of discomfort because you feel vulnerable, but I want to get the mind, and part of this is mindfulness, the mind away from the unconscious or conscious traumatic experience and get the person in the moment, in their body, aware of what's happening. Because as you're doing that, you're moving the thought away from that potential or real traumatic experience
or anxiety and you're back in your body in the present moment. And right now the three of us are looking at this beautiful Santa Ana day, and we are not seeing any saber-toothed tigers in this room,
right?
Because we're in the moment, and really,
you don't see it in that tree.
Oh no, that's just one of those flying dinosaurs. And I'll be seeing my psychiatrist after I'm with these ladies.
Right, exactly. I blame you.
Well, induced hallucinations.
So, but I can imagine some people who may be listening, maybe wondering, like, "Well, I don't even know what I'm feeling in my body. I'm so numb."
That's so normal. Okay. First of all, you're very normal.
Yeah,
that's one of the protective mechanisms. Remember, you've been using protective mechanisms to get through the day and function. That's marvelous. Mm-hmm. They're just very early, immature, childish ways of solving things, like cutting off or punching your finger through your hand through a wall or something. And with the mature brain, we want you to use what the mature brain has, which isn't even, the thinking part of our brain isn't even functioning till we're like 25 to 27. It's not fully formed. So now we've got that as adults, but we're still responding in the old way that it's a life or death experience.
And a lot of that is just knowing that there are exits and then being able to choose not to use them because it really isn't dangerous in the moment.
Right.
Because as children, sometimes we don't really know that there's an exit to something.
You don't know that's going to end.
Right? Especially if somebody... Here, and this brought me to a question. I don't even know how to articulate this question. But in that moment where I said, oh, there's a saber-toothed tiger. I can imagine something that happened to me as a child is that there was real danger, and I was always told it wasn't dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it was crazy-making. So as I became older, my perceptual... my trust in my perceptual field was very diminished. And so I would doubt whether there. So somebody could say, well, there isn't. But I'd go, well, there really might be. Maybe I just can't see it. You're trying to trick me kind of thing. Not necessarily paranoia, but really having to be hypervigilant to people who are not going to tell me the truth. So I can imagine that. I mean, I know some of my clients, I may say to them, okay, are you safe here? You know, take a look around the room, et cetera. And they say no, even though
actually the truth is. But see, again, you're addressing their head.
Right. Right.
Right.
So versus, get them to get
versus
into their
soothing
body.
That body, you know, and one of the first things that we did when we were doing it in this room is I had everybody put their handbags or, you know, if you have a backpack, put it on your feet. We call that the first thing is grounding.
Or immerse, a man purse.
Yeah, a man purse.
A man purse.
Immerse. I like that. And putting it that on your feet, you connect with the ground. That single action is starting to move you away from whatever anxious thoughts going on because you're focusing on the weight on your feet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if you're with someone else, you can have them actually put their feet on top of yours. Sometimes I do that with clients because they feel that weight. Sometimes I put a lot of weight and they don't feel anything. That gets back to your thing about the numbing. It's a protective mechanism. Wow. So what we want to do is we want to tell people that, you know, you can live life and be present and at the same time, the dialectic, and have had this experience. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to put you in a position that you can't function.
Right, right, yeah.
So let me ask you, because we didn't do any trauma work with Kelly, but we gave her a resource.
Sure.
So what we do once we're in the resource is we break it down into the five senses. And you can even do this when you're at home or in your car. In your car, you have to keep your eyes open. But ideally, you want to keep your eyes closed, and you go through your five senses. We start with the most primitive, which is smell. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, what are you smelling right now? Or in your resource place. Mine is a rooftop in Rome.
So resource, for those who are listening, that's like your safe spot. Like
something that brings you calm, but also energy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not just, watching ducks flying. It's like I'm watching them and I'm eating an ice cream cone, or there's some energy behind it, or I feel like I'm flying with the ducks or whatever it is. Mine is a rooftop in Rome at night with the full moon and St. Peter's and the sounds of Rome and all that stuff. So it hits all the sensory spots. Mm-hmm. Because, again, as we focus on those five senses, either in our resource place or in the moment, even being in the studio room, going through your five senses, again, slows down the breathing, brings down the adrenals. You're more present. You feel the weight on your hand, and that's what we call tracking. Once we get aware of those five senses, we start to become aware of those sensational shifts in our bodies. And a lot of people, we always forget about the jaw. We hold a lot of tension in our jaw.
Which is where you said you had tension,
right? I did,
right?
And I couldn't believe that because I normally, I don't have like TMJ or right. anything, you know, but right when you said that, I was like, ooh, I'm clenching.
It's really because we weren't letting you talk.
I don't stop, so.
I'm going to sit back now. I know the code here.
That's exactly right. It's so funny.
But just relaxing, maybe not dropping, yeah. relaxing your jaw and putting your tongue on the lower part of the jaw. And what you'll find is as you do this, the whole face has a new mm-hmm. sensation. You start to feel life again. This is what we're really doing. We're bringing you back into the moment so you can feel the body's life force and the elegant design of the body's ability to heal itself versus being in a thought of some either future horror or past horror mm-hmm. that's making you think the present moment is a horror when, in fact, it's just a really uncomfortable place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're not invalidating the experience that someone's having. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is say, okay, let's slow down those body hormones so we can get you back in the part of your brain that can help solve your problem. Mm-hmm. And that's the freedom. And the techniques, well, I'll certainly talk about a couple of them. The techniques I'm talking about today can take anywhere from 15 to 35 seconds, and the person wow. will notice a difference in their body. Mm-hmm. And again, the first one is the five senses, where you are. What do you smell? Mm-hmm. What do you taste? What do you hear? What do you feel? The temperature? And what do you see? Mm-hmm. Identify five objects, no more than five, but just identify five objects. As you're doing that, you're making all these shifts to the body because you're focusing on something outside of the story of whatever that thought might be.
Mm-hmm. It's a really lovely way to put that.
As you're talking, I'm wondering, so I deal with a lot of clients who have rage issues and anger.
Oh, so I can come to your office.
Yeah, exactly. And it reminds me of that same thing is where they tell me that it's almost an out-of-body experience, that they
call it a blind rage, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
like almost
exactly.
like you're not there while it's happening.
So I'm wondering if this type of work would also help them just get in tune with what they're feeling and their sensations and things like that.
Absolutely, because mm-hmm. what I like to turn everybody into the princess and the pea. I want them to be so sensitized, and when their body starts tightening in their core, which is really basically from below the belly mm-hmm. all the way up through the gut, yeah. the solar plexus, the heart, the chest, the throat,
yeah.
the forehead, the jaw, that whole region. And the moment they start to feel that tightening, it's a heck of a lot easier to intervene at that point than when someone's in a full-blown rage.
Sure.
Because those hormones will take you to insanity if yeah. you're in enough fear.
Mm-hmm.
Or, as they say, you play dead. You totally collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we can give people these tools to self-regulate, mm-hmm. and they know they work, and that they work quickly. And, you know, the brain, you know, when you're in that state, the brain won't always think of this. So that's why I say mm-hmm. be aware when the body's tightening.
Yes.
Not what your thought is. That's requiring too much brain juice.
Yep.
When you feel the body tightening in any of those areas, and also initially with my clients, is I have them put post-its with the initials of some of the tools that we use, so nobody knows what it is, and they have it in their car, they have it on the back of their cell phone. I love post-its. I wish I'd invented them.
I love them too.
I'd have better jewelry. And so, but, you know, leaving the reminders initially, because even today, after knowing as much of this stuff,
yeah.
I still forget.
Sure.
Everybody's, it's not, there's no perfection, but mm-hmm. I know I've got it, and I know after experience that it works quickly. I need something to quick because mm-hmm. of my early life issues so that I can regulate myself, especially in traffic in LA. It's
yeah,
pretty freaking crazy.
Oh, on that note, I yes. must say, just driving here, you know how I missed my entrance to
yeah.
from my office to get onto the freeway to get here was closed. So I had to do this loop around, so I'm coming just out of the street here to make that U-turn.
Yeah.
And one guy, love him. I want to get the license plate of the people that I want to meet, and then I want to, like, burn the license plates of the people I never want to meet. You know, it's just like a little sadistic thing there.
Uh-huh.
But this one guy, he stopped so that I can go through, right? And
okay.
he's, like, giving me signals if there's a car there or whatever, right? And so I kind of inch in, like, I'm about mm-hmm. to get to the next car, and he goes, no, like, don't, there's another car. And then every car, just nobody, he was trying to help me get through, and he just finally goes,
right, exactly. Like, sorry.
It's LA, you know, babe.
You know, and at least people, like, then I was halfway around and they're moving around me.
Right,
and
exactly.
And it was to a red light.
Yeah.
Okay, like, can you see? I'm animated now, so can you calm down?
Yeah. Okay, just notice yourself
noticing?
In your chair. Mm-hmm. Feel your feet on the floor.
Feet on the floor.
Okay, what do you smell right now?
Shark.
Okay.
Shark?
That's, That's not a smell. That's an animal.
That's what sea water.
Okay,
sea
salt. Water. Okay, what do you taste in your mouth?
Bitter.
Okay, what do you hear?
Your voice is soothing, calm, soothing voice.
And where do you notice that in the body? Where is the sensation as I'm saying this?
So first my head was tightening, and my heart rate was high.
And what are you noticing now in your body?
Calming down.
And when you say calming down, where specifically and what does it feel like?
My head is softening in my
great
tension.
Word. Yeah.
And just almost like now I could be in the sea and swim, not with sharks, but with dolphins.
Exactly. And make your own imagery. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a mini, mini, mini example. What was that, 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
This stuff that's is nice. Great, and especially, as I say, with people who, for whatever their reason is, TBI, traumatic brain injury or whatever, they have this rage button. When they can start to be aware of that tightening, which you were doing as you were telling your story, within 15, 20 seconds, you're back kind of centered in your chair, in the present moment. That's how this stuff works.
Now, I will define that because I know sometimes people perceive my fear as anger. I wasn't angry at that moment. I was in fear. Like, it was the experience of... Yeah, did it sound like I was angry?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have any anger in there at all.
Interesting. Did you sense that as well?
Yeah. Because Chris always says, why are you angry? I'm not angry. Then I get angry because I'm actually not feeling angry at all.
But remember, part of the fear response is, get away from me! Go away!
Oh. Yeah.
No, and so it's not anger, it's fear.
Yeah, the fear is that that's what I've gotten really good at as I've learned more of these trauma techniques, is that I can quickly get away from anger because I know anger is really the secondary emotion.
But fear is your primary.
There's nobody who I'm going to go fight right now, right? Yeah. They're not in the room and all that. But that fear of like, oh, my body was potentially
in danger
because I could have... Got just one more inch and someone would have hit me, you know, and I'd go into traffic and it would be, so I have to identify that when I know I'm in that animated spot, say, wait a minute, just hold on, I'm in fear right now, so I'm not asking you to leave me, I'm not asking you to do, I'm just
fear. Then, to make it easier, I feel my feet on the pedals, I feel my seat on the back of my car, I smell whatever's in my car, I hear other cars, I can see the car, I can identify three things, and that motion, what did I talk, 10 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
I can see you've even relaxed some more since we did this.
Yeah.
This stuff is, it's not magic, it's all logical, but we had to put our heads into the body first instead of the mind to solve this stuff.
And I had a near-death car accident.
Yes.
You know, when I was 18, went through the windshield, not in control, that gets activated.
So you're going to be reactive anyway.
Yes.
So when something like that happens, you go to your resource. There's some other things we can do, too, which is you can do a location exercise where you identify things in the room, go around the room with the eyes again. This will get you back in your body. Like right now, do I see that tree? I used to do this in the subways of New York when insane people would get on. And I'd go, do I see that pole? Yes. Do I see that girl's shoes? Yes. And as I do this for, until I felt that shift in my body, that softening, that opening up, I said sometimes it's like a flower opening up, then I would know I was okay. And it's a wonderful, this look. So we have the location. We have the resource in your five senses. You have your five senses right in the moment. And if you're in a situation where you have a little more flexibility, you can count backwards from 10 as you walk. Walking is a wonderful way of doing it if you have that mobility. If you're stuck, and I often tell many people who are in business meetings and things, get some kind of bag to put on your feet. You will be more present for that meeting.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of what?
Bag. Weight. Some weight.
A bag, while you're at the meeting.
Yeah. Ah. Because it will bring you back and make you think a little more clearly because you're going to be grounded.
Mm.
So there's so many things that are easy and fast. That's why I like these techniques.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes me think about all the natural ways this actually occurs in my world, like having started yoga a while back now when we do the Shavasana at the end, which is the resting thing. Our lovely lady yoga teacher will often say, feel free to place blankets on top of your hips or your legs because
that weight actually
does help. And then she'll come by sometimes and just, if you're okay with it, she'll put her hands on it and push it down more. So that's kind of, it's probably based in that.
Yeah, I have a few weighted blankets in my office with clients who are feeling really dysregulated.
They kind of have sand in them or something?
They actually kind of a little, like almost like little magnety things.
It's like beads almost.
Yeah.
Almost like those things they put on you when you get x-rays.
Kind of, actually, but you know, it's softer.
You get, you know, like, yes. And they put that thing over to protect
yeah.
you.
Yeah, but they're it's much softer yeah. than that.
Yeah. Well, it works great but with kids with, the weight, with autism yeah. and yeah. ADHD and everything like that. Yeah,
absolutely. Because what am I recreating? I'm recreating the womb, which was at one time the safest place in my life. Mm-hmm. Nothing could give it to me there as long as my mother wasn't smoking, drinking, or doing bad diet.
I was going to say, that's not right. My mother was smoking and drinking.
In those days, that Mad Men, yeah.
Yes. Yes. So crazy. I have pictures of her. She's in Cuba with cigarettes and martinis and
pregnant.
Me in the belly.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Pre-verbal experience.
I love martinis.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, this is so helpful to listeners. Just to us. Oh, my God, this is amazing. And you will not believe that, but we've got less than 5 minutes.
Well, we got three women in the room. What do we expect?
Exactly.
It goes like 7 minutes, right? But I do want people to know that they can learn more about this at the Trauma Resources Institute.com.
Okay. And it's traumaresourceinstitute.com. Yeah. No S in resources.
No S, yeah, okay. .com.
But before we go, because we do want to see if you could just summarize, give the listeners in very succinct terms three tools they can use, like, immediately, anywhere. Because I know this one you had.
Yes, there's a thing called the butterfly, but you can't see me do it. So basically it's back and forth, like you give yourself a hug, and you go back and forth fast as possible.
It comes, tapping with your hands.
Comes from EMDR. You do 40 of them, stop, take a breath, and you do 3 sets. If you're in a public place and you don't want to look like a weirdo, you can do it on top of your thighs under a desk or a table. The other thing is having a resource and going through the full experience of that age, place, time, temperature, 5 senses. The other is using your 5 senses in the room. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, and putting up, grounding yourself with some weight on your feet.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm.
And the other one is location exercise. Just identify different objects around the room. And as you're getting closer and closer to yourself, you end up with your fingernails. And you'll notice that, again, the body, be aware of the body sensations, not how you're feeling in your head, what you're sensing in the body.
Right. Really important for people, the takeaway on this that I'm getting that's so, so powerful is, really distinguish between your thoughts, your feelings, and your sensations.
Sensations,
because
absolutely.
We blend that in this culture like there's no tomorrow. People will say, I feel that. Well, you're not going to tell me how you feel. You don't feel that anything. You either feel sad, mad, glad, or afraid. Not, I feel that you are going to look at me funny, and I'm not going to like what you have to say to me.
Yeah. Yes,
you
know? I'll be kicked out of the tribe, and then I'll die.
Right. Or I feel fat.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, you might perceive or think that you're fat, and then how you feel about it, sad or scared.
Insecure, right.
And what's the sensation when
you
experience?
There's a lot of head stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas most of our body responds in a very primal way to danger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's why we work from the bottom up in this trauma work versus the top down.
Mm-hmm. You were so fabulous. Where can people find you and give us your
In-N-Out Burger? I'm trying to get there at least once a week.
You and my husband.
Yeah. And if you go to In-N-Out Burger when she's there, she will do exactly. resource building
for
you.
That's right. That's right.
Taste the potato. What is it? What does the fry taste like?
Well, first of all, if you want to know more about me, you can go to my website, which is www.counselingbymelody, all one word, and that's melody.com. And I have a private practice in Westwood, and I also have a private practice in New York. And I go to New York about 3-4 times a year. I also do work on Skype. But check out my website first. I have all my numbers and all the way to locate me. And I unfortunately do not take insurance, but I do give a super bill that you can give into your insurance company.
That's awesome.
Great.
And you have such a soothing voice, too. I can just see how people grow and learn a lot from you quickly because you have a safety
too.
Sound.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
And the prettiest smile.
I know.
Thank you. And you too can have teeth this white if you go to CVS and get that little whitening strip.
So
There's always a solution, folks. There's always a solution.
Oh, I love it. Okay, and I hope everybody had a beautiful Thanksgiving. And if you didn't, then do something about it.
They might need
better.
Some trauma work after
you
Thanksgiving.
You might need some trauma work. That's right. That's right. Or, you know, get resources to help you. You know, a lot of people have difficult families, and this is actually more of a stressful time for people than it is a happy or exciting time. So, you know, there are people out there who can be nurturing, soothing, and loving, and so please, please reach out.
Yes.
Next week, we have Daniel Burrs, who is the author of The Anticipatory Organization.
Interesting. I can't. I remember finding it and being really into it, and now I can't remember like what it's about. But I remember liking it. So we'll all figure it out next week.
Awesome. Really okay. Cool. Have a beautiful week.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.